Father in heaven, thank you for this chance and opportunity to share your word. Speak to each and every one. You know what kind of week they've had. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to them and encourage them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a blessing it is when the Lord does speak to you and you know there are certain things that only God knows. And then you come to church on a Sunday and sometimes the pastor happens to pick on that very subject or talks about it. It's refreshing to know that God knows about it. It's refreshing to know that he cares. He loves you so much. Many of you are dealing with things that it's tough. It's hard. And you need God's guidance. You need his strength. You need his help. If you could pick one character trait that you'd like to have, what would it be? In a quick internet search of admirable qualities, I was surprised to discover that this was mentioned quite often. It's commonly been defined as having a confident yet modest opinion of oneself. Some of the descriptions were overly focused on self-awareness and self-confidence, self-love, self-acceptance. But clearly our culture's understanding of humanity falls very short because it leaves God out of the picture. Unfortunately, we find that to be true in many areas of our culture today. We leave God out of the equation. God is left out. So then when we have problems, we say, God, where are you? You don't need to ask where he is. He's already been kicked out of many areas. Is it any wonder that sometimes God just does this to us? We'll see how this works out for you. You want to do it without me? Let's see how it works out for you. You ever felt like God has turned his back on you? I think God has turned his back on America. I think that's why you see a lot of things that's happening in America. And with what we did with him, you shouldn't be asking why we're going through the problems we are. I'd like to be able to tell you it's going to get a lot better. But I've looked at the end of the book and I see what's coming. But I know that God's still going to take care of us. He loves you. He's still going to take care of us. He is our hope. He's our only hope. We can't hope in the things of this world because they're just temporal. They're just temporal. Do you know what I'm talking about yet? Do you know the one word I'm after? Anybody figure it out? Humility. Humility. It was really prized by the early Christians. It certainly wasn't considered a virtue among the ancient Greeks and Romans. Their cultures esteemed power and authority rather than lowliness. It was only considered appropriate for slaves. It's one reason why Jesus was such a change in his day. Being by nature God, he emptied himself. We read the scripture. He emptied himself of divine privileges and took the form of a slave, being made in the likeness of men. and humbled himself by becoming obedient to the death on the cross. What a perfect example of humility. And his followers are called to walk in his footsteps. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he said, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." Ephesians 4:1. As Christians, we're supposed to live in a manner that's worthy of our salvation and our position as God's beloved children. Later in the same book, in Ephesians 5:8, it says we're to walk as children of light. We are children of light, so we need to walk as children of light. We need to act as children of light. I know sometimes that's hard to do, but that's what we're called to do. Are you a good example of a Christian? If you was on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prove it? Could they come up with enough evidence? I saw that somewhere. Was it back there on the table? The first thing I'm going to talk about, four things in humility. This is the first one. We're to walk with all humility before God and others. Before others is what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean that we are to consider ourselves worthless. Humility does not mean that you are worthless or that you should think of yourself as being worthless. True humility is having an accurate understanding of ourselves in relation to God. He is our creator. We are his creatures. Our proper place is beneath him. Furthermore, we are sinners who have rebelled against him in word, thought, and deed. And as Christians, we are undeserving recipients of his grace. And these are all reasons to humble ourselves before the Lord in recognition of our total dependence on him. Our total dependence on him. We really do need to depend on him. It also extends to our relationships with others. Pride and self-interest can harm our families, and it does. It can damage friendships, and it does. It certainly can hinder unity in the church. That's why we're urged to have that same attitude that Jesus said that he had. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regarding one another as more important than yourselves. The world teaches that you're more important than anybody else, and you owe it to yourself. These commercials that are selling all kinds of things are telling you that you owe it to yourself, and you're more important than anybody else. But if you want real joy, what's the meaning of those letters? Does anybody know? Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And you will experience real joy. Did you catch it? Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Isn't it any wonder when Jesus came, he came to serve? I could go into the lesson where he washed the disciples' feet. Have anybody ever here been to a foot washing service? I have, wow. I got a kick out. Mother always made sure our feet were clean before we went to the service. You don't have any holes in your socks, do you? Don't put them on. But did we know the real reason for it? Foot washing? Are you willing to wash your brother's feet? That's what it's about. You want to wash somebody's stinky feet? You should be willing to. That's what he was teaching. Are you willing to? Jesus said, as you see what I'm doing, that's what I want you to do. I want you to serve others. Be willing to serve others as you see me do. I came as a servant. That's what he was teaching, humility. Don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Norma was talking about that at the Silver Lining. Helping people. I was sharing about that to somebody, and they were saying, isn't that terrific. People go there and donate stuff, yep, their time, to give to somebody else. The second thing, we're to walk with gentleness, of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Walking with gentleness. Gentleness and meekness oftentimes is equated with weakness. And this is not at all what the original Greek term means. Meekness, listen to this, meekness is actual strength under God's control. Think about that. Having the power to do something, but you've put it in God's hands. Can you imagine when Jesus was being nailed to the cross? The pain of those nails going through his hands? Do you know he could have called angels at any time? From my hands, pull these nails that torment me. He could have. Did he practice gentleness and meekness? Yes, he did. He said, Lord, forgive these that do this to me. They don't understand what they're doing to me. Forgive them, Lord. They know not what they're doing. Forgive them. They're putting nails in his hands. He's saying, Lord, forgive them. Whew. It wasn't the nails that hung Jesus on the cross. It was his love that put him there. For you and for me, it was his love. The nails didn't hold him there. That was just a Roman thing. It was his love that put him on the cross. They didn't grab his hands and yank him out and pull him and stretch him out. You know what he did? If you'd have been there, you'd have seen him do this. Damn. Gentleness doesn't mean that we're always nice or that we never get angry. But our anger should be aroused by wrongs done against our Lord and not against ourselves. Jesus endured his crucifixion meekly, but he angrily stood up for God's honor when he saw corruption and commercialism in the temple. He looked in his temple and he seen them buying and selling. He was irritated. He said, this is not the place for this. You have the markets. You can do that. Don't do this in my house. My house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. A house of prayer. We had a group here last week. I enjoyed them. But sometimes I want to get their CDs or something, but I just have a hard time paying for them on the Sabbath day. If I want their CD, I'll get it, but I'll just send them a check usually by way of mail some other time. You know why? Because I think about what made Jesus angry. You ever think about that? Has our churches become a place of commercialism? It shouldn't be. It should be a house of prayer. If you ever have a situation like that, you do the same thing. Take the shirt or CD or whatever it is you want and just send them a check. You can send them a check. They'll do that. That's not a problem. That's no problem. Shouldn't be a problem. But Jesus got upset because he saw his church as being a place of commercialism. It needs to be a place where you can hear his precious word and a house of prayer. Thirdly, we are told to walk with patience. Well, that's a little problem for me. I don't have a whole lot of patience. Sometimes I look around and see people I think have a lot less than I have, but I can't say much. You know why you can't say anything? Because what God's done with you. Do you want God to be patient with you? Then you need to be patient with others. Are you showing patience? Do you want God to be patient with you? Then don't you think it's time that you be patient with others? I want God to be patient with me, and I'm glad he has been very patient with me. And I don't want that to ever stop. We need to show tolerance for one another in love. The word patience means long-suffering, and that's exactly what we should be in our circumstances and our relationships. When we have a humble spirit, we're able to tolerate the failures, the weaknesses, and the offenses of others because we realize how patient God is toward us. So the next time you're tempted to be intolerant of somebody or be impatient with somebody, just think about what God's doing with you. You want him to continue to be patient with you? Hold your tongue. Hold your tongue. You don't need to say nothing. You may not like it, but you don't have to say nothing. Bite your tongue. Put up with it. Because God put up with a lot of things for me. Instead of trying to force over our standards on others, we need to trust the Lord to work in each of our lives rather than exposing someone else's sin. We should try to do our best to cover for them. They mean well. That's what we mean by covering for them. They mean well. They're not always that nasty. They don't always say things like that. You might have just caught them a bad day because they're usually not that angry. They don't usually act that way. Is that what we can do? We should do more of that. Cover for them. You'd cover for your children, wouldn't you? Huh? Would you cover for your children? If you heard anything about that, would you try to cover for them? Then why don't you do that for your brothers and sisters in the family here? Hello? Why wouldn't you do that for them? You do it for your own children, do it for them. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I just think they had a rough day. They had a tough day. You ever get days like that? Oh, yeah, you will. You will. You'll get days like that. You know, there are just certain things in life that pushes our buttons. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's just certain little things that people can do that just push your buttons. One of the things that pushes my buttons is a telemarketer trying to sell me some car warranty. That really pushes my button. I gotta bite my tongue. I gotta watch because I just want to get on and tell them I have a 1942 Packard and I like to have it insured. Forgive me, Lord. I want to tell them to get a real job. Don't be calling me. patience with others. And then finally, we're to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance from all of God's peoples allows the beautiful unity of His Spirit to flourish in the church. The focus of our unity is not what we do, but what we have in our union with Christ. He made us unto one body with one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And there is one God who holds us all together, our Father who is over all, through all, and in all. And so our biggest challenge is to live a selfless life with all of our ambitions and desires and goals submitted to our Lord in considering that great sacrifice that Jesus made for us with His death on the cross. How can we do anything less? We could never repay Him for our salvation and eternal life, but we can commit to walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling from this day forward. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. Pastor, I believe you were talking to me today. I needed this message today. Would you slip your hand up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Just about everybody in here. When I was looking at a message, I was so tired, and I said, Lord, please give me something to share tomorrow. Because you know who's going to be here. And they need to hear from you, not from me, but from you. They need to hear from you. Lord, you've seen these hands. And it has humbled me to always see how precious you are and how you always work in these services. And I know sometimes I wonder if this is a message you laid in my heart. And when I see the response, it just thrills my soul. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Thank you for each and every one of them. What a blessing they are to me, and I know they are to you. And I ask you, Lord, to help them each and every day. I need your help. I need more patience. I needed this message too. But I pray, Lord, that this message will help each and every one of us to walk as children of light, to walk like we're children of light, so others can see the wonderful work that you're doing in our lives. And even though we are going through some rough things and some hard areas, they can still see your love in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your strength, and thank you for your love. Thank you for your help and your strength. I need it, Lord, every day. I need it every day. Thank you for this wonderful, blessed opportunity I had today to share your precious word. Thank you for these wonderful people. Your family, Lord. They belong to you. Thank you for them. And now, Lord, as we're getting ready to leave, I pray you give us all a safe trip to our home and give us a wonderful and a blessed week this week. May we be reminded of this message today that we need to walk as children of light, that we need to walk that way, act that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.